Hi, thank you for having me. I think I have to start off by saying a lot of you have printed materials of who's coming up today and who's giving talks like this. I don't look a whole lot like the guy in the picture. He unfortunately couldn't make it today, so I'm stepping in. So we work together at Sony New Media Solutions, and we've seen these things together, and I want to just kind of give you an idea of what we're dealing with and some of the customers that we support, the platforms that we work with in dealing with not just fans, but fanatics. I think it's really interesting to come after some of these last couple speakers. Very interesting. I agree with everything that was said about how you have to engage with your customers, how you have to look for ways to reach out to them. You have to look for how they want to interact with your product, how you streamline your product for them. And then we come to some of the folks that we call fanatics, because we host different services for much more niche audiences. So what we've found is if you don't go after them, they will come after you. These folks are very inventive. So to kind of start off with about how it kind of differs a little and how we look at it, take a look at, you know, I've seen a lot of this same slide today, right? Everybody in the United, every household in the United States has an average of 2 OTT subscriptions for video streaming. And there's all this talk about, will they take more? Do they want more? Where's the content? And what are their choices going to be going up? And the funny part is you look at these big players that are in the market and it's not stopping others from coming in. Even bigger whales are coming into the market and coming up. And for niche services or for services that are streaming to smaller audiences, we think there, we hear all the discussion about subscription fatigue and will people want to have another service. We're actually pretty excited about what we can do with some of the more niche audiences and how we can serve them and how we can have a good experience for them. Because yeah, you do have to play in this. You have to swim in this pond with these folks. And what I want to talk about today from the how we service our fans is kind of, and we're a little geeky, so we call it managing churn 1.0. This is what we've seen in the last couple of years, is kind of the state of the art in the business side of managing customer churn, because it is ridiculously easy to switch a subscription and go to another service, come back in 6 months when that season has fully populated into the platform, and then leave again and go do it again next week. So we looked at what are some of the major reasons behind churn, even on the platform that we're on, right? So that's why it has a little bit of a stint towards kind of a more niche audience. One, content is seasonal, right? A lot of these folks, hey, if I'm done watching what I want to watch, I'm out. I'm going to go do something else. I have other interests because fans are generally fans of a couple things. Second one is I've watched all the content I care about. That happens a lot on traditional streaming services and large content library. That's why they're spending so much time and effort trying to broaden that library. And then the last one is, what do I do if I have too many subscriptions, right? If the wallet just isn't going to support holding this service. So the answers that we've heard, I think we've heard some of them already today, and it's things that our businesses were doing is, you know, you got to find something to recommend new content when your favorite stuff is out of season. Okay, that's great. Good recommendation engines. Little bit harder for a niche platform, right, to have that broad library and have really good recommendations out of the blue of someone who's watched a piece of anime and is going to go, oh, I've never heard of this other anime that you speak of. Yes, they have. The second one is, if they've watched everything they care about, it's, well, invest in more high-quality exclusive content. That works up to a point. I mean, that works up to a point. And the last one is, well, there's too many subscriptions. And that one has stymied the business in a big way. And they tend to look at that as, well, I guess we're just going to have to out-hustle and try and get to these customers. So we've helped our customers and our partners work through some of these to the point where what we've learned together, we have come up with what we like to call managing churn 2.0. Which is especially when grouped around fanatics. And at the end of this, I'll give you an idea of some of the fanatics we serve, because I think it doesn't matter so much about type of fanatic, it's just that mindset. The first one, with seasonal content, you have to provide value off-season. And I can talk about this when I... one of my favorite stories is that in some other places on our anime platform that we help support for our business, They have content that goes in season. We get it from Japan, where it's made, and we populate it, put it up on a streaming service in the United States, and they watch it. It goes out of season, and some of the things that they do is they go, we could probably have get-togethers. We could probably, these anime fans will get together on their own. They do it all over the country. So we can be where they are. We can be bringing content to them. We can be bringing the stars of these series to them. And in some of these cases, the stars are the voiceover artists that do the English dubbing. These people have fanatical followings amongst our fans because they're reused and they become a part of that show that the American audience sees. So we go take them to conventions, take them to questions and answers, offer exclusive interviews, do vignettes on their world and what they're doing. If you've watched all the content I care about, then the idea is you need to look at different kinds of content just focused around the same audience. So like I said, maybe it's not an episode of anime, maybe it's how it gets made. Maybe it's what's going on at the conventions, recording of panels from conventions. So our partner attends, I think it's a convention a week in the anime world. And so they come back with lots of recorded material, interviews, and behind the scenes footage and that kind of stuff that they can put up on their service and hand to their consumer. And lastly, to handle just having too many subscriptions, we think it's make your subscription harder to quit. Make it just a little more sticky, a little more painful to hit that cancel button because they're giving something up that they care about and they're giving something up. And I think the last presentation had a good idea of it. It's a little more gamified so that there's something to lose when you switch away. So maybe they'll just turn off Netflix for a month instead of turning off us. So will this work for a service? Things I've said here, you could apply to many content services. You don't have to just serve anime or serve sports or a sports team or something like that. But it really works when you have people that are just gung-ho for your content. If they're crazy about being able to get your content, then you can make a big impression and you can do things to engage with them and drive that engagement a lot more closely. So I think the interesting thing is when you talk about meeting people with the content wherever they are, with Fanatics, they're not just going to be at home in front of a screen. They're not just on a screen. They are out in the world. They are at events. They are at conventions. They are at gatherings. They are at watching parties. And so that means that engaging for them isn't just on web, some apps on mobile, TVs. It's about taking that experience and actually also having engagement that wraps around that and wraps around their world. So for example, with anime, one of the most popular parts of the anime service is the forums and discussion boards and user rating and comments that are flowing every day around this anime. They will have large discussions. If it wasn't supported on the platform, if there wasn't a tie-in to do it as part of the platform, they'd just be over on Reddit doing it. So you can now drive that engagement, keep it within your platform. They can reference the material. They can get more information. And it makes it a lot more sticky. They spend a lot more time in your app, in your platform, looking at your content and getting recommendations from other fans, right? When they read these discussions, they're getting ideas on what to watch and places to go based on the people that are already fans of your service. And these fans are loyal to their fanaticism. I mean, it's not uncommon to see an app store review that says, app crashed 6 times, couldn't start video, couldn't watch, rebuffered 6 times, but dude, anime, rockin', 5 stars. you have to read between the lines and work with your audience and get to know them and their model. I think that another thing is the idea of a business model just doesn't fit when you have Fanatics. You can tailor an experience to them to fit multiple types of business models. So today, we have, in the two examples that I have, we support AVOD, SVOD, live TV through SVOD and through TVOD to make that experience come to them in a way that fits how they're willing to consume it and spend on it. From the e-commerce side, I think this is another one where they learned that the streaming side of the platform is just one aspect of the business. You look at anime, there's a huge market around box sets, marketing materials, Funko Pop, bobbleheads, you name it. There's a massive amount of capability. So being able to wrap that, integrate e-commerce and physical and digital tie-ins with your streaming service, having things like there are vouchers when you buy a box set on one of our services. You buy the box set, it's a collector's item. No one wants to open it and watch the Blu-rays and watch the DVDs. They want to hold it there in the box. So when you get it, you get a digital redemption code that gives you the online rights to that content. So now you can put the box set that we sold you up on the wall, leave it there, have your friends buy one too. That's great. But then you can also have them still get to consume the video. They don't have to make that choice. And then I talked about the community engagement models. And then the last one is customer service. I talked about a 5-star app review where they absolutely detested your product, your streaming product, for the experience that they had that day. Being able to get to them, resolve their problems, give them that touch, because they consider themselves connoisseurs of that medium, right? These fans, they are knowledgeable, they are deep. If I have a problem streaming Netflix one day, I'll turn it off and I'll come back tomorrow and see if it's fixed. If I have a problem streaming a service that I care deeply, deeply about, that me and my friends are all watching, and they could watch the premiere of that new episode that came in and I couldn't, I'm angry, right? So you have to meet them and serve them as people to make sure that your service is performing for them. I think it takes on a whole new meaning. Okay, what are the tools? I come from the technical side of the house, so this all means a whole lot to me. It's very deep. We think that what we found is the CMS isn't just an audio, video, metadata CMS. There's a lot more to it. To be able to build the kind of experiences, we've spent a lot of work looking at watch models and the analytics that go behind what's playing on the platform and when does it play, to be able to give almost a curated day part experience, kind of the same way linear TV does. What's my morning schedule? What's my evening schedule? What's hot on the weekends, right? And be able to drive that curation and help your platform find that right content and recommend it to the right user at the right time. Asset and inventory management. One thing with fans is they expect to see what they want to see, and they want to see it right now. For some of our content, it's live streamed, which is then turned into VOD. For other experiences, it's coming over from Japan and being dubbed into English. And believe it or not, those folks who watch that show, they know when it airs in Japan, they know how long it takes to do the dubbing, and they're hitting refresh at 8:35 in the morning, ready to watch that show. So you have to have a good, standard, predictable asset and inventory management process. CDN management, I think, just goes right back to buffering equals a loss of a session, right? So being able to make sure that works, especially as you go international, is key, we found. And then you don't want to build all this stuff yourself. And when I say meet them where they are, that means they're not going to be in your platform all the time. So how do you integrate their other services? How do you integrate their other capabilities and the other places where they spend their time so you can have a presence there that can drive that back to your service? How can you have a presence on Reddit? How can you get their Twitter logins and their other anime logins and their other ticket purchases so that you can bring them back to your service as they work with their friends and they all just kind of experience their world of media together? And lastly, analytics, right? Everything I've talked about isn't possible without knowing what people are doing, what people are watching, how much of it they're watching, and being able to act on that. And that analytics doesn't just go into looking at how you're performing. It drives the CRM. It drives the customer outreach. In some of our partners' cases, it's driven what platforms they wanted to integrate next with. It's driven many product offerings. I mean, with the Funimation group that we support, they have, I think, 3-4 handfuls of way to subscribe to the service just based on where they found people were, right? Whether it's digital vouchers, whether it's wallets, whether it's just directly online. So let's talk about who the fanatics are that the Venue platform at Sony NMS supports real quick. These are some of them. This is a shot that my colleague Scott, I believe, or someone near him took at SARCON, which is the largest anime gathering in the Pacific Northwest. So these are folks in Seattle that are gathered, ready to celebrate anime and join in. And a lot of these folks will travel to LA, they'll travel to New York, they will go, they will follow these conventions. So you look at groups like Funimation, they are there with a table, they are there with a panel, they are there with whatever they can be a part of that, world. So Funimation is, I'm gonna read the whole thing, but I'll read some of it because it sounds cool. They are the world-leading anime provider. They are the largest anime provider of English language anime in the US and outside of Japan. So they have an end-to-end user experience all the way from content being sourced in Japan to their own content being made, originals, as well as what they call their simulcast, which is a within 1 hour airing of a Japanese broadcast in America in English with subtitles. And then what they call a simul dub, which is a fast follow of English dubbed anime. And that is one of their hottest products, is being able to watch a piece of anime with English subtitles within a couple days of it being released in the US, of being available in the US. They have, like I said, many ways of paying money and subscribing to the service, a lot of different and extensible payment mechanisms. Many more than just your typical, you know, Apple, Google, Roku Pay, Amazon, Fire TV Pay. A lot of different ways in. They've integrated social and community features, and they are also rolled out internationally. So they also offer this service in what they refer to as English-speaking countries. So in the UK, Canada, Ireland, and New Zealand, Australia. We service our users on connected TVs, games, consoles, mobile, and web. So empty page, Scott. Some of the tie-ins they have are e-commerce. This is how they try and make their subscriptions a little more sticky. They have a shipping discount for customers, and they even have an anniversary gift. If you're only a month away from getting that anniversary Funko Pop, you might stick around a little bit to get it. The next group that we have is the NHRA, the National Hot Rod Association. They're the world's largest auto racing body and 125 tracks. They do about 700 hours of live streaming a year. So for the entire race weekend at these different races, they have about one a week. They will stream the entire weekend to their subscribers and then make it available as VOD packages afterwards. To look at what the NHRA does to make their subscriptions a little more sticky, you can see you get dollars off your season ticket, you get percentage off merchandise, you get percentage off shipping, you get digital editions of different bits of capability. You even get a pin and a decal. So, and Venue, who we are, this platform that's underneath this, we're a white labeled OTT platform that's come out of Sony's digital supply chain world to support the video streaming and video distribution aspect of content and architected for the cloud. Our platforms stream a little more than a billion minutes a month each month. The OTT and supply chain have about 26 petabytes of content that we deliver to 1,400 endpoints in 89 languages. And that is me. Thank you very much.
Awesome. Thank you, David. David Ballou, ladies and gentlemen. That was great.